friends, this is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. I'm glad that you're here for us with this Walking with Jesus podcast. Today, I'm here with Corey Rowland. Say hello, Corey.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and of course, I should be saying Pastor Corey Rowland. The last time Corey appeared here, we were talking about call to ministry, and Corey has now been called to a church, so we're getting used to calling him Pastor Corey Rowland. And in light that his situation has changed, he's got something exciting going on in his life, and that's all part of walking with Jesus and seeing the new things that he's bringing into our lives each day. We thought we would come back for another conversation. And so I wanted to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4. This was been famous as Paul's instruction to Timothy, a newer preacher, a younger preacher. And so you know, it's not just my advice to younger preachers, because that would be of only marginal value. But this is from the Word of God, where it says, Paul writes, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." So, Lord, today we, Corey and I, both are together to edify, to bring your saving love nearer and make it more vital in the lives of those that are listening, and also for ourselves. Lord, we're thankful for Scripture to reflect on and also on the things you've been doing in our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Corey, is there anything in that list that I just read that really leaps out at you at this point before we?
Yeah, this verse has always been very close to my heart, specifically verse 12 in there. And not only because obviously I am younger, but also when I was first pursuing my calling, my age was a discouragement to me a little bit, because I'm like, well, most of the people in the congregations are much older than I am. What possibly could I have to teach them? And a friend of mine from this church who had not been going here very long, but really was close to me, came up to me in Sunday school one day and said, "Hey, I was praying about you. The Lord led me to pray about you, and he led me to give you this verse. He says, this is the verse for your ministry. And this is the verse that I pray over you continually." And it was verse 12, where it says, "Do not let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to believers in what you say and the way you live and in your love, your faith, and your purity." And so that just since then, that verse has always been one of my ministry verses.
Yeah. And that, and it's so true. And also that a person can take this, you know, that yes, they're listening to a podcast and the subject is one preacher talking to another preacher about an upcoming preaching thing. So what does that have to do with having to go to Walmart today or going to your job? Well, for anybody, set people an example in your speech and in how you live, in love, in faith, in purity. I can say, taking the long view, if one is old and is finally laid away and buried in the cemetery, but people say they really knew how to love, or they really had a lot of faith, or their speech, they are always careful about their words. You've already said something, you know, along with your faith in Christ, you've already said something that amounts to a huge accomplishment in life, you know. So Paul's definitely got the right emphasis here, the priority straight. Now, this issue of being young. So yeah, Corey, I entered ministry when I was 30, 31. And yeah, frankly, I wasn't believable. It was just kind that the first couple of years, you know, people were in churches that always had student pastors, you know, a little penny, not too much going on, and their expectations were low. So there wasn't any reason for me to need to prove my capability for ministry. But But when I did hit full-time charge, you know, there were just people that looked me up and down and said, oh, no, what does he know, you know? So how do you think this will work out for you, or what are you expecting? Well, I mean, what's your plan around that? You are young.
Yeah. Yes, I'm, and actually, I'm 22 years old, and it definitely on the younger side. And it's been interesting that the churches where I'm appointed, they said that they really enjoyed. They had a young pastor a while ago. They said we really enjoyed our young pastor. He was really young, but we really enjoyed him. So that was an encouragement to me. And then they said he was 32. And I said, oh, well, I'm 10 years younger than this guy. And for me, the only thing I can do in order to show myself capable as a pastor is just to make sure that when I am counseling, when I am preaching, when I'm helping anybody, I don't use my words or my opinions, but I just show them the scriptures and show them what God has to say, because God mm-hmm. has been doing this for a while and God knows what he's doing. And it's his calling that I'm pursuing. And so I know it is that he will equip me for that. And I just got to continue to make sure that I'm not just giving my opinions. I'm not just giving my feelings on the matter, but what does God have to say about that? And just to be a vessel.
Yeah. And Paul points in that because I'm counting how many times he says, teach, command and teach, devote yourself to teaching, and, you know, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. So we've only ever had, there's always going to be somebody new to the task of leading a church as a pastor. There has to be a first time. And Paul would be pointing out, well, you're not supposed to come with Corey's words of wisdom, as amazing as those would be. You know, you could do a whole succession of tweets, Corey's words of wisdom and many followers. But Paul at this point, you know, is pointing out, no, we have a content. We have a body of knowledge and a practice of faith and doctrine and a gospel to share that isn't our own words at all. And so that's what we're there to bring to people. It doesn't take too much discernment to say, well, you know, that teaching can come from the Lord can send by whom he wants to send, you know?
Amen.
Yeah. So, I also think that, first off, you know, the young pastor they talked about, and he was 32. You said, and well, believe me, people that are 70 would view you as virtually the same age. So,
okay.
Also, you've met some older people though, right? Just
yes,
here and there, off and on, you know, with
yes.
your work. And in fact, maybe one qualification, you have some meaningful relationships with some older men, and certainly because of the Bob's Boys, the men's group that we're meeting with, but I'm trying to give you a question or something that you can actually answer in a number of words rather than just yes. So, you know, I think it is interesting, and it isn't like you've only lived your own generation. I mean, maybe tell me something about that, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that is one thing that has been a blessing. Just growing up in the church and then being so involved in the church, I am constantly around the older generation, just because that is what makes really kind of the life of the church. If you're going to volunteer for anything, usually it's going to be the older people that are volunteering for it. And so mm-hmm. just through my different volunteerings, I've worked alongside them. And then Bob's Boys as well has been just a wonderful blessing, because every Tuesday I get to see their perspective on things. I get to glean from their wisdom and really just allow me to be not only see my generation, but also relate to their generation. And it's just given me the ability to, I think, relate to multiple generations, to where I'm comfortable around people my age, but I'm also extremely comfortable around people who are much older than me, and just to get their wisdom.
So also, you were homeschooled.
Yes.
And so now my experience with my homeschooled kids is that I could say, look, they're not just with fourth graders all day and a teacher. They actually meet grown-up people doing grown-up things. And they have a wide variety. I see you nodding. Now, people can't hear your head rattle. So anyway, tell us then a little bit. Do you think that plays into it?
It does. It definitely plays into it, because being homeschooled, it was just my four brothers and I, but we did have other friends who were our age. But at the same time, we were constantly going places and like going to field trips or different things. We were involved in a homeschool group where we were also around older people all the time and adults all the time, which I think allowed myself and my brothers to mature to the point where even though we were young, we could relate and we could talk competently to older people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, so I think people would like to know where you're going to be preaching and when you're planning to begin. Just tell us a little bit about the setting, and all that. Yeah.
Sure. And it's actually another confirmation from God, because if I didn't think I was ready for one church, God said, "Well, no, actually, you're ready for three churches, because I will be having a 3-point charge."
Third churches. Yes.
Yes. Three churches, a 3-point charge. It begins July 1st. I will become the pastor of Tippecanoe UMC in Tippecanoe, Ohio, Pleasant Grove UMC in Stillwater, and then Yorksville First UMC in Yorksville.
Okay.
And it's they're all wonderful churches. They're smaller churches, obviously, but there's life there. And I'm looking forward to beginning. And I will be living, Yorksville has the parsonage where I will be living in. So I'll be living in Yorksville. Mainly Yorksville being the biggest of the churches, my main focus and my kind of base of operations will be there. And then I will also be taking care of the churches that they're both located kind of on the outskirts of the Yorksville-Denison area.
Okay. So you'll be living in the parsonage, a single pastor. Buy yourself a case of Spam, a case of Pop-Tarts, and some ramen noodles, and you're great. Okay, just
yep. You know,
no, you went through the appointment process, you know, because we in Methodist Church we call these pastoral assignments an appointment, because the bishop said, "I'm sending Corey Rowland to pastor these churches." So that's a fascinating process about which people know very little. So maybe tell us how this in a shorter, long version of how this came about.
Sure. And it is a very fascinating process. One of the first pieces of information I was given about the process is that they said they got on a meeting. They said, "Whatever you do, please don't view this as hoops to jump through." He said, it is good work there. So I've been trying to take that throughout the whole process. And it does, I mean, one can see that there is a lot of hoops to jump through. But at the same time, I do see the intentionality behind all that, because you come out of the appointment process knowing whether you are called of God or not, because that is a very intensive process. There's a lot of meetings with other people. They have mentor group meetings where I sit down with an older pastor who mentors me through the process. I have to go through a psych evaluation, because they do not like crazy people being pastors, apparently.
So we want to note that Corey is not crazy, and there are papers to prove that Corey is not crazy.
There are papers to certify me as sane. So that was a big part of it. And then it kind of all works together to your final certification meeting with what they call the District Committee on Ministry. And what they do is they basically walk you through your entire process that you've done up to this point, asking you questions, to asking you specific things, because they all get information from all the different groups you're meeting with. My mentor had to send something in. The SPRC of the current church at Broadway had to send something in, because I had to be certified by Broadway to even move further. So there's a lot into it where they want to make sure you are called, because they have your home church. They have your home church say, "Hey, would you be willing to have this person as your pastor? And if so, then certify him. But if you said, 'No, I would not want him to be a pastor here,' then they're not supposed to certify you." So it gives them a chance to say, well, your home church confirms you're called. And then different other committees confirm you're called. The church at large confirms you're called. You're certified as sane. And then they get together with the District Committee on Ministry, and they basically say, "Well, here's some questions we have for you. Answer this." And then they choose to officially certify you which for me, that happened on April 15th.
Yeah. And then, of course, we all at church began asking, so when are you getting to church? And we waited. We waited. I won't say that we waited patiently at church. Everybody here was saying, we want to know when Corey's getting, what are they doing with themselves? So, but how did that, what's your understanding of how that came about, that you finally were assigned to church?
Yeah. So, and for me too, it was, I probably could have been more patiently in my waiting, but it was something I was very excited for. So it was something I was looking forward to. And that's done again through not only does the district committee on ministry have to certify me, but the totally separate cabinet of bishop, the bishop and DSs meet together and talk about all of that. And so I was hearing all of these other people getting appointments on where they were going, because the United Methodist Church publishes weekly where people are going. I kept looking for my name. I never saw my name and kept waiting for a phone call. And it took a little bit, but finally, on the same day of April 15th, I did find out where I was going. And I was super excited about that. But then the superintendent said, now, yes, you can know where you're going, but you can't tell anybody right now because it's not official yet. And so then people continued to ask me where I was going. And it was wonderful to just see people at my home church. They truly care so much that they're like, we just want to know where you're going. They just want to. And so it's truly like a family. And so then for a little bit, I had to tell them, well, yes, I am going somewhere. I've been appointed, but I just can't announce it right now. So that made them very fascinated to where I was going. And finally, the official announcement could be made. And just everybody was so, so happy for me and so supportive. It was just an awesome experience, an awesome feeling. But as far as the process goes, that is something that is quite literally above my pay grade. People, they all get together and they say, hey, you're going here. And I just say, yes, I will go there. I know I was praying to God. I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me. I have no stipulations. And my mother said, well, she was praying for God that he better keep me close.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we can really tell God what we think he ought to do. And of course, you know, a couple of things if people think about it. Yeah. When you hear it, you know, our tradition and our just instructions are, announce it in the church that the person is at and the church to which they're going on the same Sunday, because even before social media, you know, the telephone has always worked and people will know people in that church and they'll call and say, hey, you're getting this pastor. And it's just not nice for somebody in that church to know that other people all know all about it before them.
Yep. And it's actually been very, obviously God knows what he's doing, but many people in Broadway, my home church, know people who go to one of the three churches I'm going to. So it's very, you know, it's a small world and they're very connected.
Yeah. And in fact, we would look at, you know, you're trying, sometimes trying to find connection between the New Testament world and the one that we have in terms of how we do things. You know, Paul talked to Timothy about the gift he received when the council of elders, you know, a group of elders laid their hands on him. And that is, you know, basically a sending forth or an ordination as Timothy as leader. And they recognized it as such. We ordain later on in this ministry process rather than the first time out the gate. Because again, there's just a whole matter of you will be actually kind of examined in your next few years for fruits. So fruits for a fruitful ministry and before we ordain, because Paul also counsels, be hasty to lay hands on anybody. Set them aside for work, to test them and prove them first. And so this process you described, which is soaked in prayer, that the bishop and the district superintendents, they pray about this a lot. They discuss, they have open and honest discussions. You know, it can't be a perfect process, but they're looking for a ministry fit. You did. In fact, could you just do? What do you think is a fit for ministry down in Pleasant Grove and Yerkesville and Tippecanoe there for you? Do you think?
It's looking very forward to getting in there and getting involved in the ministry. And what is so encouraging is the churches, basically, especially Tippecanoe and Pleasant Grove. They said, yes, we know we're smaller churches, but they said we are here for our community and we do what we need to do to meet community needs. And they both said, our community knows that, you know, we are small, but they know that if they have a need, they can come to us and we will meet it. And that to me is just awesome. So that's definitely something I want to continue there to let the community know, let the church be the first thought to where can we go to get help. And then Yerkesville is very encouraging in the fact that one thing they've expressed to me is they said, we are unsatisfied with the current amount of outreach we do. We want to get more involved. Wow. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a voice God can use. That's a church God can use when they're saying, we will do what it takes. We want to get more involved. And we're very fortunate that there's a pre-K school attached to the church. So there's already a ministry right there where there's kids going there for school. Going to be a wonderful experience to just see what God does with the church that says, hey, we want to get out in the community more.
Yeah. And that is remarkable. And it's extremely helpful too, because, you know, people will talk sometimes about a church and nothing ever changes and it's sliding downhill. Boy, but it only takes a couple of people working hard alongside their pastor to generate new ministry, new outreach, and just other doors will open up for giving people God's word. I rejoice in that, and these do look like a good fit. You see, there's that, you know, Paul would describe a process where, you know, and he described it to Timothy as a gift, that, you know, that they knew Timothy well enough and had worked alongside him in church, knew he was called and ready, and also somewhere along there is the decision of where would he go. Timothy is going to Ephesus, you know, hey, yay, a city, cosmopolitan city with people from every corner of the Roman Empire and all sorts of weird cults and things. I mean, if he wanted sinners, he had sinners, by golly, you know, and is it
yep
to tell the gospel to, and this process is a gift, and it, you know, both elevates him and also says, yeah, we think that the work of the gospel will be advanced by sending that. And this, maybe just continue, Paul says, immerse yourself in these things. I love that when I read that, you know, that, you know, if you think about the reading of scripture and the teaching, and also just the habits of heart about, you know, the speech and the way of life and love and faith and purity. And Paul would say, you know, dive into these things, that you couldn't think of anything better to pour your life into. Another thing, you will have that chance. There are many people I hear in the world who, you know, go to bed at night and they lay on their pillow and they say, have I made a difference? Is this world better because of me? And they're just not sure. Now, you're going to be pastoring a church. You, I guarantee you will have that knowledge that you made a difference in somebody's life and that it has mattered. So now, that of course, you know, brings up that, you know, Paul would say practice and immerse yourself, including public reading of scripture and encouragement, exhortation, and teaching, which means doing church.
Yep.
Actually church so you're planning to go to these churches and change everything right off the bat, right? Then is that
I know they have for the most, and I actually get the opportunity to go. They've all expressed beforehand that they would like me to come and just see their worship, to see how they do church. So I'm very grateful that they're so open, to the point where they're like, hey, we would like you to come beforehand and say, this is how we do church. So but as far as change, unless it absolutely needs to be changed, there's really no need to change it if it's working for them and it's creating fruit.
Yeah, because partly, you know, even just in Paul and Timothy's day, when we assume that they're still understanding what churches are to be, that are planted in communities. You know, there was a structure there. I guess if somebody ever said, you know, I don't believe in organized religion, well, the Bible believes in religion that has some structure and content to it. And so at this point, that Timothy will both innovate and do, but he'll also already see what's going on. And for the new pastor at any church, the people there are part of your study. This is the initial arena where you're doing ministry, and you need to know those people. So now, my question, you can tell me, I was once told in a pastor's advice book that I should get a system for memorizing names and do it now. Don't do it later. Now, what do you think of this advice? Because I didn't follow this advice. I still don't have a system.
I mean, it would be good advice. I'm not really sure the system. I'm not really sure how you could create a system out of that, other than, for me, it's just, it has to be repetition. It has to be them telling
you. On Amazon, we can find you a book, you know. Just
yes, and I, for some reason, I've never been a huge person when it comes to memorization or anything like that. As far as systems, I've never had a system. I just by repetition and just by continuing to meet them, and not only meet them and learn their name, but learn stuff about them. So not only do I have a name to go by, but I have something that describes who they are to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, the other thing that I think a preacher particularly finds out is that you're going to a new place, but Jesus has already been there, you know. He is already preparing things and people for your coming there. So again, you know, do you see that sort of happening already, or is it possible even to say that you're looking forward to what that Jesus has in store for you? That's a hard question, maybe, but.
Yeah, and I totally do see that Jesus has already gone before me. He's been there. He's in these churches, and I'm looking forward to just getting to know each of the members of the church. I've met all of their SPRC committees, which have just been wonderful, wonderful group of people who are encouraged and excited. I've obviously, being my first church, I've never had the opportunity to see how meetings such as that normally go, but every single church I met has been overwhelmingly positive and excited that I'm mm-hmm. I will be their pastor, and so it's just been a great and great encouragement there. And as I said, just to hear more about what they do as far as outreach and stuff like that, and how they're so excited about outreach, I'm just encouraged to be a part of that and just to get in there and see how I can help and how I can guide them in that.
And I'm thinking the verse 16 in here, Paul says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. And so it's interesting that Paul would counsel even someone that's in the Bible as one of the great New Testament leaders, keep an eye on yourself. Okay.
That's so important to just make sure you stay on the straight and narrow. I know I've been in contact with people from the Methodist denomination, heads up, the people who are in charge of different things in the denomination, who already say, well, we already know about you. You already have a reputation. And I had come into this thinking, well, nobody knows me from Adam, yet they're saying, nope, we already, fortunately, praise God, it's a good reputation. Like, you have a good reputation. But it just goes to show you that there will always be people watching and always be people that you have to be accountable to. And so you must show Christ in those situations.
Yeah. And also I'd say in my experience, that it is studying, it's in your Bible, in the Word of God, and prayer, and also fellowship with like-minded believers. Because really, when it came down to it, I remember looking at the group that I was ordained with, which was about 24 people. And 10 years later, only half of them were in ministry in the East Isle Conference. I was pretty sure most of those were out of ministry completely. So kind of sad, because people would put you know, 3 years into seminary education and so on and so forth. And then suddenly 10 years later, that's not the thing. There's a point at which, you know, somebody lost touch with God and began, got discouraged in the ministry. God has all the encouragement you need, you know, and also, you know, we've also looked at pastors' libraries over time, you know, a lot of experience. And it seemed like every book was about 10 steps for a good Bible study or 7 ways to do your church, you know, instead of anything about, you know, read your Bible, you know, touching the deeps of the faith. They just seem like they made it kind of got shallow. So it's not even a warning, but that's, I think, when, you know, Paul doesn't suppose that Timothy is going to go out and start hanging out at the pagan temples and sacrificing to Apollo or anything. No, he's saying you have a spiritual walk, and you know, pay attention to that. But I love a word for preaching is that, you know, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We do preach to save our own souls first, in so very many ways. If I have a text in front of me and it's the text for Sunday, it works all over me, and you know, being the Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, you know, it cuts me first, you know, and before I ever take it out and bring it to the hearers, and that's as it should be. And I think it surprises people to think of that. Yes, I have a saved soul. I have assurance of Jesus' love and his salvation for me. But my next week is still a question of whether I'm going to walk close to him and abide in him, or whether I'm going to have something else go on that's not nearly as helpful or great. and so I just want to encourage you, yes, stay close to God. This is a great, a wonderful time. We're probably close, speaking of time, to about the length of time that we should go. Do you have anything else you'd like to share before we close the book on this?
Yes, it's something I'm looking forward to beginning and starting at these churches. It's been 3 years since the time I was first called to where I am now, and it's been a wonderful journey. I've seen how God has used that time to grow me, and I'm just, now it's time. I finally start this calling that he's laid on my life, and so I'm just looking forward to it. Couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah, and so we covet your prayers for Corey. And so we want people, amen, to remember him, remember the Yorksville First and the Tippecanoe and the Pleasant Grove churches, and that date, that 1st of July date, just helping to be on time for church and everything, you know, and all that, and things to be well and prepared. And so I wanted to lift that up as a prayer need for anybody listening. And well, Corey, if you'd like to close us in prayer, I think we can close out for this time.
I sure would. If everyone listening could bow their heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just humbled to be used of you, Lord. It's as powerful as you are, Lord, you still say, I call each of you to a specific purpose, Lord, and you still want us and delight in us following that purpose, Lord, and carrying out that purpose. And so I just pray a prayer over this new appointment that I will be receiving, Lord, in July. And I just pray that you continue to use me and continue to let me be a vessel, Lord, just a vessel for you. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon this podcast and the lives it touches, Lord. And it's incredible to see your work, Lord, and to see your hand. And we thank you for technology that allows us to do this, Lord. It allows us to reach a wide audience. It allows us to just be greater vessels for you, Lord. And Lord, as we depart and we go about our day, I just pray a blessing on everyone who is listening, Lord. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so we thank you, Corey and I, for listening to this podcast and our Walking with Jesus podcast. Join us again. Check out some of the episodes and keep both us pastors in prayer. Thanks. God bless.
Yes. God bless.